Hello, this is Chloe Peterson, the voice of Lila on Sword and Spinner, and I'm just here to say that while this first episode is being cross-posted to the Back Again feed, the rest of the show, the second episode of which will be coming out on July 20th, will be exclusively posted to the Sword and Spinner channel, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. Now, Abigail Eliza has given me permission to say whatever I want here, so providing she doesn't cut it, I just want to say that I'm super grateful to be involved in this wonderful project. I'm so excited for you guys to hear it, and I hope that you are having a good time. I hope that you are staying safe. I hope that you are hydrating, and I hope that you remember that you are so super, super loved. And now that I gotta say that, which is fun, I always love the little outro she does, I present to you the episode.
Sword and Spinner, Episode 1. Maps, Flowers, and Lila. For every place Remus had killed a monster within Rhysaea, they'd drawn a flower on their map. Lila scoffed every time they did so. The stars would be out late at night, a campfire small and comforting between them. And as she stumbled through her first compositions of their latest adventure, more a forlorn picking at notes interspersed with lewd rhymes at Remus's expense than an actual song, Remus would take their nibbed pen and ink and draw over the place they'd been. That was the glorious thing he'd always supposed about Rhysaea. Its flora. Flowers bloomed and twisted by night. The cold season, even though it was so long dark, was so much more mild than Ilaikna, where they'd been born. And though different flowers grew as the weather changed, the long warm times fading into the starlight days, there were always flowers to pick and press into the Rhysaean book of history they kept. Always flowers to sketch onto their map.
What's going to happen to that map?
Lila asked, late one night, in between halting melodies and humming.
When a monster finally gets you.
Remus hadn't looked up. I'll draw a grave in the spot it happened.
You'll be dead.
Then you will for me, Poetess. She laughed, plucked at another few notes.
Bold assumption, Gladigus.
I'll haunt you till you do, then. They glanced up from beneath their lashes, just in time to see their bard's face contort for a second, too, and felt a small twinge of pride at getting a reaction from her. He flicked his eyes back down before she could catch him staring.
Ghosts aren't real. Souls can't haunt other souls, Remus.
She'd stumbled over the word. Ghost. Her Ilaiknin was better than most of the damned people in this country, who expected all else to speak Rhysaean and called Remus's land nothing more than the far shore, but she was far from perfect. Half the reason Remus let her stick around, or at least what he told himself, was so that they didn't lose the language of their birth. But Rhysaea didn't conceive death like Ilaikna did. Souls didn't have a chance to escape, didn't have traditions of a proper burial or else curses and spirits and ghosts like they did back home. Here, there was death, and there was the scattering of matter, and there was the becoming something new, something better, so long as the body was returned to the ground. Entropy made the magic they claimed would come back someday. Every bit of life force that disappeared between this existence and the next would return someday, they said, when the new Elahitha came. It's why their trees seemed so alive. It's why the flowers bloomed at night. Rhysaea believed they were the people you used to love. Come back to you a little less whole. Remus thought that was a bunch of shit. They made a mental note to pester the ever-living hell out of Lila as a spirit, if they died first, just for the pleasure of an I told you so. Ghosts were ghosts were ghosts, not plants or prey or starlight, and Remus half looked forward to being one. For your Rhysaea, maybe, but at home.
They're real. I know what you think.
Remus twitched, just slightly, at the emphasis she put on think. Lila sighed, considered.
Do you think that if you died here, you'd... reincarnate into a tree or a flower or something? Do you think that once you cross the border, your soul changes forms?
No. Your country is just Rome. Remus hoped so. If they died through a sword with their chest in Rhizae and woke up as a pansy, they'd be pissed as hair. They shifted, re-dipped their pen into their inkwell. Stop bothering me. I'm drawing. Lila went back to humming, plucking the G on their lute over and over, half in, half out of rhythm, before it devolved into something like a tavern song. Remus hadn't heard it before. She probably pulled it from her head and was twisting their latest victory into it. Victory. Yes, there had been a battle and an argument and a death, but it hadn't been over a creature. There weren't monsters in Rhizae, not truly. There was the idea of magic, of course, somewhere deep in the woods. The rumors of a sword buried in a tree in the heart of their king's castle, and the Rex et Poeta et Soldat that would return finally, finally, to set things right. But most of the things that fell into the realm of extraordinary, for better or worse, had disappeared as the years tumbled forward. Away from a girl that came from another world and a poet that sang prophecy as they died. No more witches. No more magic. Hardly any monsters. Remus thought the people of Rhizae were foolish for holding on. What did still exist were stories that, as they whispered their way through villages, became monsters. Children disappeared into the dark when a harvest failed, and a man on the edge of town got fatter and fatter as the rest of the village turned to bone. Two men were found drowned in the river, and talk of sirens made their way to Remus, who, upon arriving, had found nothing but a cracked girl, shaking in her bed, and an older sister with the embers of vengeance in her eyes. People were the monsters, these Rhizaeans in their hamlets. And Remus's work, inevitably, was not slaying true monsters like they'd found back home, but instead pulling people apart and stitching them back together again. They were a gladicus, literally, in Rhizaean, a sword, but their reputation had become one of a ranger, someone who wandered the parts of the country too far away for the kings to care about to keep the peace, and Lila, dear Lila, spun it into something just. They were a great team, Remus supposed. A sword to level justice and a bard to smooth the edges. And their reputation, in the 5 years since they'd began, had become something close to a legend itself. Lila mumbled a pocketful of words that fit halfway into a tone. She stopped strumming, frowned, and tried again with another set. Remus finished their flowers and drew a small pouch of sand from their pocket. It hadn't used to be a small pouch, but time and monsters and drawings and drawings and drawings had diminished their supply down to nearly nothing. The sand was from Alaikna, from the shores where Remus had grown up listening to the sound of waves. It was a waste of home, they knew, to sprinkle it over their drawings so they'd dry faster, especially when they knew returning home was an impossibility. But there was catharsis in it, too. Once the sand was gone, they'd be free. Or so he hoped. Hoped that it wouldn't hurt to have one less reminder of home. He wanted to cling to it so, so badly when he let himself dream of it late at night. But there wasn't a point to wishing for things that you couldn't have. Once the sand was gone, he hoped he'd be able to think straight. Lila strummed a chord. 2, 3. It formed the beginnings of a song they already knew, the one she sang most often as their own personal legend. Sword and Spinner, she'd called it. It was ridiculously self-aggrandizing. Lila wasn't nearly the hero or the artist the song made her out to be, but the towns loved it. Which, of course, gave Lila an ego the size of the sea. Anyone who'd only heard Lila songs knew just the highly stylized versions of themselves she'd created. In them, Remus was more magnanimous, more selfless and stronger and more muscular, rather annoyingly, than they'd ever been or could see themselves becoming. Lila fell closer to a prophet, closer to a warrior, closer to a detective, the way she painted herself. As if she didn't just tag along and make quips about their jobs. In the worst towns, they were called Soldat et Poeta. Remus always made sure not to stay in those places for long. They weren't Rhysaean. They didn't believe in this country's ridiculous and impossible prophecies. Another chord. A half-hummed, half-sung version of Sword and Spinner. This meant she was having an artistic block. Remus rolled their eyes. We're leaving in the morning, heading back towards the shore. Someone in the village mentioned child snatchers and angry forest to the north. Don't say it's magic. Lila closed her mouth, gave them a forlorn look.
It's a possibility.
You say that every time. And all we found are people doing monstrous things.
Still.
A plucked line of Sword and Spinner.
Speaking of the village.
Remus groaned internally.
Why wouldn't you let us stay? Just for the night. We could have had beds in a tavern and mead and company.
That's never the deal, he said.
And ignored the way she said company as a synonym for pleasure.
We took their coin and their thanks. Staying would have meant favors and debts, neither of which we can afford here, not if we want to stay honest. She made a face.
But Remus...
Lila. She stopped.
Fine.
The truth was, they would have stayed. Just for the night. The people were kind, and the innkeeper had offered them rooms, but there had been whispers of Soldat et Poeta at the edges of every room they were in, and that made Remus jumpy. They didn't trust anyone who believed in idols. Prophecies were for the desperate. Prophecies that idolized divine rule were for the dumb. The next village, they promised.
You always say that.
Remus brushed the sand from the pages of his book, trying to ignore the twinge in his heart, and shrugged. No one's forcing you to tag along.
Tag along?
Lila said, scandalized.
Tag along? What would you do without me? What would you be, dear Remus?
Calmer, probably. I'd have less gray hair. And fewer stab wounds, because I wouldn't have you to worry about. She sat back. Smug.
So you do worry about me?
Remus gritted their teeth. As I worry about everyone in this godsforsaken country, you're not special.
Sure.
Remus slammed his book shut and pulled their hood up over their head. You're on first watch, they said, closing their eyes. I can't deal with you right now.
Mighty sword and spinner fair, tread the land with graceful air, slaying monsters as they go there, the hero's lips should know. Sword he fights with precision, never derision, he completes his mission. The spinner sings the prose of their triumphs, how they rose, and anywhere the spinner goes, mead and melody will flow. Mighty sword and spinner fair, tread the land with graceful air, slaying monsters as they go there, the hero. exceptional. From distant lands they've hailed, deep in wild seas they've sailed, and in the battles they won't fail, for they found their holy grail. In the unity of two, spinner and sword fight through and through, always knowing what to do. So when you're lost, you call on who? Well, the mighty sword and spinner fair tread the land with graceful air, slaying monsters as they go there. The heroes live to know. Monsters as they go there, the heroes live to know. With a mighty sword and spinner fair, we tread the land with graceful air, slaying monsters as we go where the heroes live to know. Where the heroes live should know.
Sword and Spinner is written and edited by me, Abigail Eliza.
The music was written, sung, and edited by me, Chloe Peterson.
The voice of Remus was Abigail Eliza.
And the voice of Lila was Chloe Peterson.
If you'd like to hear more about Sword and Spinner or other stories in Rhysaea, you can check us out on Twitter, Instagram, or Tumblr at Back Again Podcast, or Abigail Eliza Writes on TikTok.
If you've made it this far, thanks for sticking around. Please remember that this world always tries to make you feel more alone than you truly are. There are people out there that will love you without condition or expectation, and you will find them.
The light-soaked days are coming. I promise. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Is this still rolling?
Yeah.
Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Hello, Gail, from the future. You love me so much. It makes you look so